What's happening, people? Welcome to the Football Fans Podcast, The Face Off. As you know by now, we're rebranding the team. We're doing a shows on Zoom where I can see my guests. Obviously, lockdown now, we can't be linking up and doing our show, but you know, the show must go on. So the concept, as you guys know, listening out there, is that we're doing a bit of nostalgia. We're looking back up memory lane and picking out some of the most iconic Premier League games of the Premier League era. And we've got another iconic game that we're going to pick out today. It's a repetition of the same fixture we did last week, Chelsea-Liverpool. Only we're fast-forwarding about 15 years. But we're going back 6 years. Ironically enough, the anniversary of this fixture between Liverpool and Chelsea was 6 years, I believe, yesterday. And we're going back to the game at Anfield between Chelsea and Liverpool. We dubbed the first of our series of these pods. We did the Arsenal United game. We dubbed it Tunnel Gate between Keane and Vieira. We're gonna dub this one Slip Gate for obvious reason. Yeah. So we were not game we're talking about. The game finished 2-0 to Chelsea at Anfield. This was a fixture, of course, where Liverpool were closing in on the title, and it all went a little bit wrong in the end. I've got with me this week, acting as neutral, we've got Basil, our Arsenal supporter. What are you saying, Basil?
Yeah, I'm good, man.
Well?
At least this one, I can enjoy this one a bit because I'm not able to relive any of the painful Arsenal memories that they won't be able to be here. So,
look, normally, you know, Basil comes on when we lose and it's time. So I can have some fun this time. We've got a regular Chelsea fan, G. What are you saying, G? You good?
Yeah, man. I'm good. Still well. Still at home. Can't wait to get out, but yeah, all good, man. All good.
Good man. And making his debut on the FFP, we have man like Adeola Depo, who's our Liverpool fan today. What are you saying, brother?
Not bad, you know. Thanks for getting me on to talk about a memory that doesn't sit well with me, even 6 years on. So I appreciate you trying to get me on for this one. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good man. Adi, obviously, glad to recognise one of the stars, I would say, of Sky's coverage, and also does many pay-per-views and work with us at TalkSport as well, Bad Boy Broadcaster. And to be fair to Adi, initially this game, I must let you guys know out there, this pod was going to be on the iconic game between Liverpool and Newcastle, the 4-3 in 96, I believe. But our Newcastle fan had to work, so we had to switch it up. But yeah, he's gone from being happy about this pod to obviously being a bit pissed off now because we're talking about a painful game, as you just mentioned. Let's get straight into it. I'll start with you, Adi. Just give me, first of all, your overall memories of that game and of that particular week. We'll go into the details of the fix of the game itself in a little bit. But what were your overall memories of that defeat?
You know, I remember the build-up and the few days before that fixture. And I remember particularly watching Gillette Soccer Saturday. I remember it like it was yesterday. And you had Jeff Stelling, obviously, Merson, Letizia, Phil Thompson, Charlie Nicholas. And they were all talking like it was a foregone conclusion. Like, oh, Chelsea are going to go to Liverpool and Liverpool are going to do enough to get a draw. Remember, all we needed really was a draw. Right. And we were going into that game, I think, on a run of 16 games unbeaten. Luis Suarez at the time, probably the best striker, not just in the Premier League, but probably in Europe at the time, especially if you don't count Messi and Ronaldo as strikers. So we had everything going for us. And me as a Liverpool fan, all I could think about was Jose Mourinho. That was it. Even if we did have the better team, all I could think about was Mourinho is coming to Anfield. This is no foregone conclusion. And obviously, the history repeats itself. Mourinho, it wasn't a foregone conclusion. But I just remember being scared in the lead up to that game. Liverpool, you know, we haven't won the title back then for like 24 years.
Yeah.
We'd been second a couple of times. I remember the Torres-Gerrard link-up. But this was a good team we fought. But Chelsea, we've always got history with Chelsea, and I knew this was going to be anything but easy. Anything but.
And G, same question to you. What was your overall memories of that, in your case, in a victory?
Yeah, so we were kind of like, you know, there's always one team that's third that kind of slips out like a few weeks before the end. So we'd lost to Sunderland, like, and Borini scored against us.
I remember.
And,
yeah.
So going into this game, it was almost like Ade was saying, it was almost like a Liverpool title parade. Like, everyone assumed And you know, sometimes Sky at the end, they go to Anfield Road and get the coach coming in and get all of that kind of stuff. It did feel like a homecoming for the title. And I remember seeing the lineup, and we made like 8-9 changes because we had Atletico on the Tuesday after that second leg Champions League semi-final. So I was like, wow, like, not only are we going to lose this title parade, but we're going to actually disrespect it and actually put like a B team out as well. So like, overall, my hopes weren't high for the game because of the team that we put out. And because actually Liverpool's form, I think it was also like 15, 16 games they were coming into it, like a winning streak. Like, I really feared for us in that game. I mean, people like Thomas Kalas made his debut. Mm. I think he only had played one other game for us, period. You know what I mean? Like, Jose really seemed on the face of it to show some disdain for the fixture. But I guess as time goes on, you'll see that it was all kind of a part of a plan.
Indeed. Basil, I mean, I remember it's one of those games where I remember going to work on the weekend and worked Channel 4 News, and I knew that I was going to be doing a match report on this game. I remember thinking, they're going to win the title. They're going to win the title. This is going to happen. And obviously, I didn't want it to happen. But as G mentioned there, I remember the kind of the national momentum of Liverpool are going to win the Premier League. The fans, as G says again, were arriving at the games 3 hours before the fixture, lining the streets, singing, we're going to win the league. It's going to happen. I remember going into work and thinking, oh no, they're going to actually do this. Seeing the team that Chelsea put out and thinking, oh wow, this is really, really bad. And it's also about the year that Liverpool smashed Arsenal 5-0, I believe it was. And one of the worst days in Arsenal in my life, because he scored 4 goals in like 13 minutes at Anfield. I've never seen a team ripped apart so badly. As a neutral, Arsenal were obviously 10th or something stupid. As a neutral, what were your memories of this fixture?
As an issue, I guess for me, everybody was optimistic apart from Liverpool fans. And apart from the Liverpool fans I knew, they were still very cautious because of the fact that they hadn't won the league for so long.
Really?
Surprisingly. I guess because they're more over on the side of caution because it's been so long they've actually celebrated winning the Premier League. Most of like the celebration before the Liverpool had done it came more from the pundits, from the journalists, from anyone associated with Liverpool who was working within sports media. I was one of them. I thought the title was a foregone conclusion, and I couldn't see how Liverpool could actually slip up such an opportunity. But I guess it's one of those ones, those type matches, there's a bit of nerves involved, I guess, for players when you're not in it, because you're expected to win. And when you're not in a position where you've actually done it before, where you've actually crossed the line, you can be nervous in those final few games. And I think when that game started, you can tell there was nervousness in some of the Liverpool players, just because I think they wanted to prove a point and actually win the match rather than control the game a bit. So I think there was a bit of naivety in terms of how Brendan Rodgers set up for that match. And I think Liverpool themselves, you know, took their eye off the ball a bit in trying to actually go for the win rather than just control the game and be patient in terms of waiting for openings to happen.
And Adi, I mean, going to the actual game itself now, the team at that point pretty much picked itself. So was you happy with the team that Rodgers put out? Was you happy with the tactics? Up until the bar goal, was you genuinely quite happy and content with what you were seeing and what the way that your manager laid out the team?
Yes and no. Obviously, hindsight's a beautiful thing. I can look back and say, we should have done this, we should have done that. Demba Ba scored in, what, the 45th minute? So you 0-0 against Chelsea half-time, you take that. All we need, again, was a draw. But I think a player that keeps getting forgotten in the build-up to this was Jordan Henderson. Jordan Henderson was our legs in the midfield at that time. We had Gerrard, but Gerrard was coming to the end. Gerrard retired at the end of next season, right? So Gerrard was coming to the end. It was Henderson that was doing all the movement for Gerrard. Henderson was suspended for that game. Henderson was out, couldn't play for that game. So it was a massive, massive loss for us. Also, in and around the team, not much experience. I mean, and I mean that in the forward lines. We had Suarez, yes, but we had an 18-year-old Sterling, and I think at the time, a 22-year-old Coutinho. So exciting players doing a lot, but I think we look at the Liverpool team now and you realise experience is such a big thing, it's such key. But going into the game, look, I mean, Sturridge was really up there with Suarez, so he mixed that about a little bit. But we had that team. That was a team that had won, I think, 13 of the last 16 games. So how can you complain? But I think Henderson in the midfield was the big loss for us. We ended up playing Joe Allen and Lucas came in and it just wasn't the same.
So on the first goal you mentioned there, Demba Ba's goal, I mean, I'm trying to laugh, but it's still, even now, it's still funny. What I find really interesting about that goal as well is that of all the people for it to happen to, Steven Gerrard, you got the person that embodies the football club and to summon the city, the whole city. 30 years of no Premier League. Gerrard's, you know, come so close. I think you had two previous title run-ins where you just missed out that he'd been involved in before. It's on the line here. He dragged Liverpool in the season in the last two or three games. He talked about not letting it slip. We carry on. We go again. All this kind of talk where he was honing in on, we're so close, guys. Let's get it done. And for it to happen to him, which is so, so ironic, it was a genuine slip. But do you feel like that slip, and I'll ask all three of you, but I'll start with Eddie, do you think that slip in some ways blemishes his Liverpool career? And when I say blemishes, I don't mean makes him a lesser player. But when people name Steven Gerrard, do you think most people still think of that slip first and foremost?
No. I mean, well, it depends who you ask, right? I guess if you ask non-Liverpool fans, maybe. I see Gabriel's got his hand up. If you ask non-Liverpool fans, non-Liverpool fans might say so. But for us, I mean, Gerrard, I mean, look, there was times as a Liverpool fan when Gerrard had Igor Bishkan next to him. And Jimmy Traore. I mean, we know what Gerrard done for Liverpool. And
so, what's the first thing then, Eddie? When I say Steven Gerrard, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Oh, Olympiacos.
Okay.
Olympiacos or West Ham FA Cup final or Champions League final. Those are the things for me.
Those are big moments than that slip.
Yeah, I mean, because you're taking all those moments as one against that one slip. And let's not forget as well, that slip happened in the 44th minute. Liverpool still had another 40, I think it was with injury time, another 49 minutes to do something. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't muster something up. It wasn't like the slip came in the 92nd minute. We still had a whole half to do something and we couldn't. And that's what pains me. We needed a draw. We didn't need a win. We didn't need to go out and beat Chelsea 3-4. All we needed was to score one goal and we couldn't do it. And we were a team that was scoring. Like you said, we played Arsenal and put five past you. But four past you in 13 minutes. And we couldn't get that one goal against Chelsea. And our at Mourinho just kills me, that guy, I tell you.
Even to add to what Abby said, because like I said, even when you watch the highlights of that game, when Gerrard slips, why is Gerrard the last man in that back line? Which is why I talk about the way Liverpool set up. Ultimately, if a midfielder gathers the ball and slips, there should be some kind of protection from someone behind him, possibly a defender. We look at the way Liverpool again, because Chelsea sat back so much, they took risks in terms of their defenders and their wide and their fullback bombing on forward, which is why they were left exposed. And like I said, as Adi said, they only needed a draw, so they didn't need to commit as much as they did in that first half. I understand because Chelsea sat back so much, but you still have to be cautious considering that you're still a Mourinho team.
Adi, does it hurt more?
No, I remember that.
Sorry, one second, G. Does it hurt more that was the error? So what I mean is, would it have been just as painful if Steven Gerrard missed the penalty or missed a sitter? Does the fact that was the mistake, does that hurt more or is it? Does it?
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, oh, absolutely. And I think what hurts more is that I know it's old Gerrard. So in my head, I'm thinking 20-year-old Gerrard would have got up and caught him because he was trying to run up against Demba Ba and old Gerrard's legs couldn't get there. And I'm thinking, if that was peak 23, 24, you never know, right? I mean, Gerrard had that about him. But I was thinking, 34-year-old Gerrard, those legs have gone. He can't even catch him. And that's what made it worse. And I didn't think Demba Ba was the best finisher in the world either, by the way. And a lot of respect to Demba Ba. I mean, that's pressure. Because you know Gerrard is coming down on you and he still finishes it.
Eddie, I'll move to G now. G, that's funny Eddie mentions that because watching the goal the last couple of days, that Demba Ba goal, I'm thinking to myself, you know what? That's kind of it's quite a good goal because people have the one-on-one. He's a pro, he should finish that. But then I thought, am I giving him a bit too much credit? But he's got two men running him down, the keeper's closing in, one bad touch and the keeper's got it and he slotted it. Was that a really good goal, or was that something that you expect from a Premier League striker to finish?
It's one of those ones where you'd say the fact that he had so much time to think about it almost kind of works against him.
Mm,
yeah. But it didn't work against him in this instance. Like, he was still caught about it. He had a few strides. I actually think, Ade was saying, a younger Gerrard or someone a bit more might have caught up, but he's not to know that. You know what I mean? He's thinking, I've just got to get in on goal. I've got someone breathing down my neck. And he actually takes it really well. And there's a lot of pressure on him as well, because out of the strikers that we had at that time, he was the one that Mourinho liked the least. Mm. You know, Mourinho would even play Torres over him. You know, it was a really strange one. So this was his, like, I think that was like his third league appearance, like, of the season or something like that, or third league start.
Mm. Stop making this worse. What's wrong with you?
So he was really rusty and totally out of the mix. So it, all in all, like, yeah, it was a really good finish. And I've never screamed so loud in my living room. So, I would say it was a great goal.
That was funny as well. Is if you watch the goal back, after he scores the goal and he goes to do a celebration, he kind of buoys off, I think it's Skirtle, without trying to. He kind of barges him onto the floor.
He's like, I'm getting down.
It's a proper voyage. Basil, so they're 1-0 up.
Yeah.
What do you remember that second half? Because I remember that second half quite well. And the thing that sticks out to my mind more than anything was going back to Gerrard. He had about 9 shots from distance in that game. So I don't know if he kind of thought to himself, I've got to do a Steven Gerrard. I've got to save the day because I've messed up. If you look back on the highlight, he took about 9 or 10 shots from distance. Only one really was like really threatening. What do you remember?
You're killing Gerrard. You're killing him. This is an agenda.
What do you remember from the second half and how they responded to the goal?
I think it was difficult. It was a typical Mourinho team. The reason why I was doing that because Chelsea left no openings whatsoever for Liverpool to really play such incisive passes to get behind them. And also, people forget, for me, the man of the match for me in that game was Kallas, which was very surprising. I mean, I've rarely seen much of him in terms of football terms in that Chelsea team, but I was surprised by just how well he played in that game. I think he was the man of the match. And they really covered their lines perfectly defensively, and Chelsea, they tracked their runners very well. Kallas in particular, I mean, when Liverpool were trying to make runs in behind, he really stuck to his men, to his man. And I think ultimately they left Liverpool no choice but to try and go for the spectacular, because there was no way they were getting through that Chelsea defence.
True that. Gee, the team you've got here, you mentioned earlier when it was a bit of a B team. It's a bit harsh. I mean, Schwartz.
Stop it. It's not. I'm not having it. I'm not having it.
The 11, Schwartz, Aspilicueta, Ivanov, Kallas, Cole, Lampard, Mikel, Matic, Salah, Barr, and Schürrle. I mean, okay, no Hazard, no Terry, no Cech, but that's still quite a strong team, G.
It was 8 changes from the team before. I think, bear in mind, you've seen names like Salah. How many times did Salah play for Jose Mourinho?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? How many times did Barr play for Jose Mourinho? This was the team of people who were either not going to play or suspended for Atletico. Mm. It was a straight B team. The team was all geared towards... I mean, Kallas never played again. You've got, I mean, you go to the bench, you've got like guys like Lewis Baker, Ake, and you know,
it was a B team,
but I think that was all. I mean, and maybe it could be luck, and sometimes people say managers get credit for doing stuff that they don't actually do, but I think it actually fed into the reason why we got the result. Like, Liverpool thought, right, okay, they're going to come with these, man. We're going to just try and pummel them. And it fell right into the tactics. And then, like, I mean, the slip was obviously a mistake. And even the goal at the end was a bit of a, you know, was, again, Liverpool were like all out against us. But it just all kind of worked out perfectly. But so, yeah, looking at the team when it started, I thought it was a terrible team. But I think it actually contributed to the right why we won. If we played our normal 11, I think we might have lost.
I actually think, Basil, Adi mentioned, he thought that Kallas was the man of the match, and he was brilliant that day. I remember Mikel being brilliant. I thought he was, I've never rated Mikel like that, but I remember that day thinking, wow, he's everywhere, he's doing everything. On your team, Ade, the game before you had Norwich and you won that game 3-2, I believe, and it was another squeaky one. Do you think, as a Liverpool fan, looking back now on that season, that emotion pretty much got you where you got to? Because defensively, you weren't good. There were a lot of games you won 5-3, 4-2, 4-3, 6-1, 6-2, whatever. You weren't great, but it felt like you were being carried by the phenomenal front four, if you include Coutinho as well. And the one game where the emotion maybe went a little bit over the edge was the game when you came unstuck. Is it fair to say that game was the epitome of, and the Palace one later on, was where you didn't have a plan B and emotion wasn't enough?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, I think you'll get away with that in a cup game, right? Because a cup game's... I think when you take the whole of the season and Liverpool were there right until the end of the season, it's difficult for me to look back and say, okay, emotion got us for one game, because there were still 34 games prior to that. I just think we came up against a very good Mourinho setup, and that's what it is. I mean, I know Gabriel talks about it being a B team, but Matic was there holding with Mikel holding. Ivanovic was fantastic. Ashley Cole was there as experience. Lampard was there as experience as well. So yes, maybe we're talking about players coming to the end, but we're talking about winners. Mm. We're talking about guys that have been there, done it, whether it be Champions League, Internationals, Premier League, and they just knew how to hold on to a game. And I look at Liverpool, again, I mean, Flanagan played, I think, if I'm wrong, could be wrong there. Sacco played, young Sterling, young Coutinho, Gerrard's not really there, Joe Allen. I mean, that team, I think, pushed it as far as they can. I mean, you compare that team to Liverpool now, and how many of those players actually get into that Liverpool team now? One? Suarez?
Yeah.
That's really it. I mean, so I think that team done as much as they could. Defensively, we weren't the greatest. A bit like Jurgen Klopp in his first season, or maybe a Newcastle under Keegan. But I think that team pushed it as far as they can. And I just think Mourinho was Mourinho. Mm. I think possession was like 75-25. We just couldn't break them down. Just couldn't do it.
Gee, I actually forgot until checking the game back 2 days ago that it finished 2-0. I genuinely forgot.
Stop this right now.
No. I've written down 1-0 because I genuinely forgot until I saw that the highlights again. The bar goal, the William goal. I forgot.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your team now and Jose's kind of contribution to that. Would you say that was one of the two defining... okay, so if Jose Mourinho is charging for masterclasses in parking the bus, he's got Sam Allardyce paying top fee, he's got Pulis paying top fee. Is he showing that game and the Inter Milan win at the Nou Camp? Those are two games that he's showing as this is the epitome of a masterclass in parking the bus and still winning.
No, the Inter game is head and shoulders better than this one. And I think we have had other games where we've parked the bus and where we've offered more of an attacking threat. And in that sense, you'd say that is the masterclass element. I'd say even, I don't know if you remember, the Liverpool game is a bigger game, but I don't know if you remember the game where we went to Man City and we won 1-0.
Yeah.
Ivanovic scored. Yeah. That was more of a typical Mourinho mask. This was literally park the bus and have no ambition for anything. I actually think he really just played not to lose, and Gerrard just happened to kind of gift us a win. You know what I mean? I don't look at the actual performance. I always say, like, I've got no problem with playing defensive, but there has to be a way to win. On that day, there wasn't actually a route to win. If that mistake doesn't happen, I don't know if we scored. I don't know if we get the second. You know what I mean? There wasn't a plan. There wasn't... I mean, you know, you talk about Mikel and Matic. They're not going to get you up the pitch. You know what I mean? So, no, I wouldn't say... It was a great defensive lesson. But I think the masterclass has to have a way in allow, you know, for you to create goals, chances and goals. And it didn't have that.
And, you know, Torres, I worked out as well. Looking back on your goals, it's probably he's instrumental in two of the most iconic one-on-ones in the last minute in Chelsea's history.
Yeah. But you know what? I've always kind of held that against Torres, you know, because, like, the Liverpool fans, when Torres left, they gave him a lot of stick, like, year after year after year. And sometimes, like, he gave a little back, like, not in terms of, like, being that outward descent, but you could tell it was riling them. That's your chance to score, brother. Go through, get the goal. But even if it passes it off to...
Because that
would have been the ultimate salt in the wound if Torres had got the goal, right? That would have made the day perfect. But this guy goes and passes it off to Willian, and Willian scores. And I think it kind of summed up Torres in Chelsea, like, nice but no cigar, in that sense.
Fair enough. Basil, the irony, I think, again, of this defeat is that, you know, if that defeat doesn't happen, Jurgen Klopp's not at Liverpool right now. I think if Liverpool get the point they need that day, they more than likely win the title. Yeah. And whatever happens the following season, Klopp gets a year's grace. So in some ways, do you feel that, although on the day it was painful, it was actually beneficial? I mean, they still don't want a Premier League title all now, but, and we'll see how that pans out. But in a way, that loss could actually have been something that it brought long-term gain and positives for Liverpool.
I think so, because ultimately, I don't think they even trusted Brendan Rodgers. And you can tell that based upon when that season ended, usually when a manager's gone so close to winning the league, you support them in the transfer market. And I think when that season ended, I didn't really see the support for Brendan Rodgers in the transfer market. So you sort of knew his days were numbered and Liverpool were sort of preparing for someone else to come in. I think they were waiting for him to slip up in the following season for them to actually pull the trigger to get rid of him. That's how callous I think the Liverpool board were in regards to that. So you can say there were positives in that. Ultimately, as you said, Liverpool still haven't won the title officially, so we can't even say it has changed their fortune in regards to winning the league, but we'll see what happens.
And Addy, one thing on the second goal I noticed as well, Sturridge is a disgrace. Look at the second goal again. I think he passes the ball, I think it's to Gerrard on the halfway line, who's the only Liverpool player in the Liverpool half. And he passes it to Gerrard, and it's short. And I forgot who intercepts it. I think it was Matic. Was it Matic? He intercepts it. But for me, if you look at Sturridge's body language, the ball is quite clearly going to be intercepted. But he's going towards the Chelsea goal as if to say, you're going to get that, Gerrard, then lay it back. But actually, there's no way Gerrard... It's so short, and then it's intercepted. And I was just like, Sturridge, bro, what are you doing? Like, that was so, so poor. Especially as he can see that Gerrard is the last man. What do you feel about the way that you handled the latter parts of that game? Because that was a bit of a freak. You're going for the equaliser. Mm. What did you make of, you know, the last few minutes of that game and how you guys... Was there a plan B? Was there a different way to try and get that equaliser? Or do you just think it was a desperation and that sort of thing was always going to happen?
Desperation, no know-how, right? I mean, up until that point in the season, Suarez had been our, if you like, our Gerrard from years ago. Suarez always got us out of sticky holes. That Suarez, Sterling and Sturridge combination has always kind of found a way. And once that stopped, we ran out of ideas. And it's a bit like Liverpool now, you know, if I'm honest with you. Once it doesn't click with Mane, Salah, Firmino, one criticism people talk about Liverpool now is, okay, the midfield isn't going to create. I mean, thank God we've got Trent and Robbo, but we didn't have that back then. I mean, Flanagan and Glenn Johnson isn't Trent and Robbo. Mm-hmm. So we just ran out of ideas. Sturridge is an interesting one. You mentioned Sturridge there. And Sturridge, it's weird. When I speak to Liverpool fans, he doesn't get the love that you'd think he got for someone that actually scored quite a few goals for us. And I think it's because of his work rate. I mean, look at the goals that Mane scores. And Mane scores exactly the same amount of goals that Sturridge scores. But the work rate's ridiculous. Sturridge was like that. Sturridge, I don't know if it's because his legs went. Sturridge is probably the slowest black footballer I've ever seen in my life. Like, his legs went at like 19. His legs were gone. He could literally go one way and that was it. He couldn't go the other. So he's probably looking at that pass that you mentioned and thinking, there is no way I could get there anyway. Like, let me just stop. But yeah, there was no plan B, no plan C. And that was a shame. But again, it was a good run. For me as a Liverpool fan, I just wanted us to compete. Be up there, right? I mean, I never wanted us to be fighting for fifth and sixth. Be up there challenging for titles. Mm. And even though we didn't win that season, I just wanted us to be there. We were. And I think we all know what's happened now, right? We're all there now. So we're okay.
Fair enough. Look at that second goal again. I really was like, Sturridge, what are you doing, bro? I got a final quote from Jose, who has come out now and said, Schwartz just said that in the team talk, that fixture, Jose was just so intent on Liverpool not winning that game. He was like, listen, he described the scenes before the game as a circus, and he said to the Chelsea players, apparently, we're not here to be the clowns. So he was like intent, and he was ill. If I don't know if people remember, he was really ill. I think he had like bad flu that week as well. And there's a quote that says, "We're not going to be part of this. We're not going to be the club that is a pushover on the way to Liverpool winning the title. They want us to be the clowns in the circus. The circus is here. Liverpool are to be champions." So he wasn't. I'm not the champions. Maybe he meant there. So he clearly, this meant a lot to him. Obviously, there's history there between Jose Mourinho and Liverpool.
You think?
No, there was. Yeah, there was. Yeah, he hated you, man.
Oh God.
Where would you rank this win in all of Chelsea's Premier League wins in terms of enjoyment? I'll take out the Bolton win that clinched the Premier League Cup. That's an obvious one.
Okay. You know what? It's one of those things, like, I don't want to sound petty, but yeah, I am petty. I can't lie. It was up there. Just because I never saw it coming.
Top five, top three, top two?
I'm going to give it top 10, but give it a special mention next to it, like a star. You know what I mean? It was just...
Top 10? What's your top two then?
Well, obviously, you've got Bolton. You've got Bolton twice in a row. Remember, we did it to Tottenham as well. Like we got form for this. Like we did this all the time. But no, it was a real good feeling. Like, and it's funny because you know people will now look at the relationship with Jose Mourinho, and you mentioned them, and the Chelsea fans is totally disconnected now. But when he ran down the touch time, he was like, yes, yes, mm-hmm. Like you really felt like he was on the team. You know what I mean? Because he understood what it meant. Like, the way, if you look at the Chelsea fans celebrating behind the goal, the way they're celebrating, that game was a meaningless game. You know what I mean? In terms of the league. We've zipped out of the league. We had Champions League just to play for. But the desire not to be the clowns, as you said, like, that's what made it feel so good. So, yeah, it's not like, We've had a lot better games than that. I'm not going to say it, but it has always held a special place in people's heart. And people still sing about it to today, about Demba Ba and Gerrard slipping. So, yeah, it's a magical moment.
And just finally, Adi, same question to you. Different question. What game hurt more, that game or the following game against Crystal Palace?
That's a very good question. You know what? It's kind of... 50-50-ish. And the reason I say that is I remember when we were running through Palace at the time.
Hang on, Addy. There's no fence sitting on this podcast. There's no fence sitting. Pick a lane, bro. Pick a lane.
I'm going to say the Palace one because Suarez was crying and Carragher destroyed us on Sky Sports. Dude. But we there was a point in my time, like in my head where I was thinking, wait a minute, we could get 5 or 6 here. Like we could get 5 or 6. Because remember, Man City were only winning it on goal difference. I think they had a +8 goal difference. I was thinking, if we get 5 or 6, and I think we ran out to get, I think, 3 or 2 immediately. I was thinking, you never know. And then, obviously, we know what happened. But can I come on next time and talk about a good Liverpool game?
You can. But in the meantime, let's not Liverpool them in this Premier League. And
Stop your nonsense. Stop your nonsense.
Well, that's our small comfort for now. Listen, gentlemen, thank you very much. We'll do it again.
Take care, brother.
Big up.